This is Karen Lyle with SalesFort Talk, and I'm in the studio here in beautiful San Francisco with Patty Mangan, who is a director on the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association, and she is representing that and also South Beach Yacht Club. Patty, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Karen.
So today I'd like to talk a little bit about Fleet Week that's coming up. We just tell me a little bit about what you have been exploring in your Fleet Week conversations this week.
Okay. Well, in the past, basically, I've been on a sailboat listening to, you know, watching and listening to the Blue Angels mostly, and somewhat aware of all the naval ships and the opportunities for tours. Now I'm much more aware of the fact that this is a week-long training ground where they're doing drills, seminars, strategies for disaster preparedness here in the Bay Area, an annual event that brings together all these military forces together to work together and to learn how to respond quickly and how they will leverage each other's equipment and skills to deal with an earthquake here in San Francisco or any other kind of disaster.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had Rear Admiral of the United States Navy,
right,
John Bidoff here,
right,
and he talked about his experience with the Loma Prieta earthquake and how the Navy responded in that role. So it's
right,
really great to hear about these preparations. And, you know, I've been out there sailing during Fleet Week watching the Blue Angels from,
right,
my sailboat, but I had no idea that all of this other information was being passed on and all of these drills and training were being done by all of the military,
yeah,
in preparation for.
I think there's a lot of entertainment for the civilians, and for us Bay Area boaters. That's our understanding. But really, they're bringing in all these men and all women and all the ships to actually deploy and learn from each other. The Australia has a brand new warship that was built or was launched, I guess, in 2018, and that's coming in Friday. And brand new warship, you know, state of the art. People are going to be able to check that out.
It'll be a pleasure to welcome them. I think it's October 11th. Now, also, you are a longtime member of the South Beach Yacht Club, and have been on so many different race committees over time.
Yes.
And recently, were you on the Jazz Cup race committee as well?
Yes, I was.
Right. So can you tell us just for a moment what it's like being on the race committee boat? Because we always hear about the sailors.
Right.
But the race committee boat is out there kind of starting the starting line and hearing, having everyone check in. Tell us a little bit about what it's like on a boat.
Okay. So
like
there's
that.
Probably anywhere between 8 and 12 people who have different positions that they have to do. It's very focused. It's very quiet, except for the people who are doing the timing. But for me, I'm always, it's just so glorious. There's 100 boats swirling around you coming in to check in. So you check off their sail number that they're participating in the race. And there's a gal that's confirming, you know, and they're just sweeping around you. And it's like you're in the middle of this ice storm of beautiful sailing boats, and I've gotten to know many of the crew on many of the boats over the years. So it's like seeing all your friends show up for a big, you know, party.
Well, and one of the things that I'm focusing on in this particular show is the amateur racers who are mixed with the pro racers, because there are thousands of races around the world that are run by yacht clubs that,
right,
happen on a weekly basis that are similar, you know, to the Jazz Cup. You know, if you're looking at somewhere around the world, you're going to find many happening on the same weekend in different parts of the world. So you're representing, you and our next guest are representing that whole class of sailors and people who are involved behind the scenes. So I really thank you for being on the show representing for us. Tell me also as a when you're there, tell us a little bit more about the starting line. So the race committee boat usually is somewhat instrumental in establishing the starting line.
Yeah.
That's not the sailors don't know where that's going to be because of why.
Well, the committee boat is one of the anchors, and then there's a mark, and that sets the start line. And that is actually quite visible to the sailors who are coming up and getting ready to start. What they don't have information on is what course they're going to run. So based on divisions of the kinds of types of boats, spinnaker, non-spinnaker, they will go at their brands of boats, too. They will go into different divisions. Jazz Cup, in its 33rd year, had 11 divisions this year. So that means every 5 minutes, an assortment of boats are leaving the start line, one after the other, 11 times. So for the race committee, we're managing that. Is everybody here? Did everyone cross it on time? Did anyone go over the line before the gun? If they did, noting that. And making sure that everyone that starts the race is accounted for. And the time of the start. So that at the finish of the race, the time that they started is part of the collaboration or the math that is done to figure out their finish time.
Well, and also you're in the know about all the private stuff that happens. Like, for example, if someone's injured on a boat and they have to be taken off the boat so the race can start, or if there's someone hits someone else, or there's a penalty.
Yes. Right?
So, thinking about some of the experiences you've had over the years, have you witnessed like an injury or somebody being recovered from a boat or something that had to do with one boat hitting another? I know that you don't want to tell all of these stories on the airwaves, but you can give us a little tidbit, can't you?
Well, I think I've been fortunate that I have not seen anyone get hurt. I can't think of that. I think I've heard the stories, but I personally haven't witnessed that. I have seen really near misses, even with a committee boat. I've heard about the crunches. I mean, it's like wildfire. As soon as something happens, it spreads out throughout the boating community or those involved in that particular race that day that somebody T-boned another boat. And there's all kinds of protests. Protests is when one skipper thinks that another one has crossed the line in terms of the rules of racing. I'm sorry, I don't have a bloody story for you.
That's okay. I can only ask you for your own experience.
Yeah.
Well, for a penalty, for example, when one captain puts out, do they usually do it with a flag?
Yeah,
put up a penalty,
a red
flag.
Yeah.
So when you
flag.
See that, when the committee boat sees that flag, what action is taken and when?
We note it on our records that somebody coming across the finish line has a protest flag up. It, pretty much we spot it earlier. And we know that then a judge will need to be called in to arbitrate between the two skippers about what happened and positions and so on. And sometimes that's done at the Jazz Cup. It was done that night. So we had 97 boats that started. I think we had 91 that finished. And I know that the protest judge, is his name Michael?
Michael Gross,
he must have been in there doing protests for a couple of hours. That was a lot. I actually was relaxing and enjoying the party.
We were talking, actually.
And you and I were talking, but I was aware of him running around us. And the look on his face, I knew that was drama. And I actually knew of a personal friend who had a protest flag. So, yeah, there's drama.
So as a director on the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association board, you are participating in the opening day on the bay. And
right.
We had that in every April.
Mm-hmm.
I think what year are we coming up on now? I think it would be
104.
Well, like that.
PICYA has been around for over 100 years. In terms of the parade, I'm sorry, I can't think of the it's not spoken of in terms of how many times. It's more thematic, but the tradition has been around in the San Francisco Bay since the 20s. And it's a collection of both personal boats and as well as Coast Guard and other partners on the bay who come together and do a big parade along the waterfront.
And we usually have a grand marshal for that.
Right.
And
judges.
And judges. And so that becomes, it's usually a hornblower or commodore boat that becomes the committee boat,
right,
as it were. But instead, it's a little bit in jest because all of these people are representing races, but it's not a race by any means. People are coming in an orderly fashion and going along the city
it's
front.
It's a parade and it's a competition. It's a competition based on the theme. And there are, again, different divisions that you can compete in the parade in terms of the type of boat you have and how you're, whether you choose to decorate to theme or to kind of go outside of the box. But the judges are there to give a tribute when who gets the trophies. South Beach Yacht Club has been in first, second, third place for many years. We're creative. We're on top of it. We understand it. And we enjoy and love decorating to the theme.
Well, and you also took over the Pacific Interclub Yachting Yearbook. And that's how you and I met originally, because I was writing some articles for the yearbook for you, being representing a Berkeley Yacht Club and
right.
the IYFR San Francisco fleet.
Right.
And then we got to talking, and when Sailsport Talk came about, then you said, that's really cool. And you've been a very great support behind the scenes. Tell us a little bit of just well, actually, we're running into the very end. So we've got just a tiny bit, like maybe 30 seconds, about the PICYE yearbook.
So the Yachting Yearbook is in its 101st edition, and it is a collection of 108 yacht clubs, all of their members, all their fleets, and their port captains, and all the information about the yacht clubs for the yacht club community.
Thank you so much, Patty. This
You're
is
welcome.
Karen Lyle with Sailsport
Thank
Talk.
You.
And we are here in the studio, beautiful studio in This is Karen Lyle with a Sailsport Talk report on the Pacific Coast on the San Francisco Fleet Week 2019. The San Francisco Fleet Week Center for Humanitarian Assistance will host a parade of ships entering the bay under the Golden Gate Bridge. As the visiting ships steam towards their ports, they will give a liberty call for our honored sailors and Marines. The San Francisco Fleet Week hosts the largest parade of ships on the West Coast, with five U.S. Navy ships joined by a Coast Guard cutter and a representative from the Royal Australian Navy. The procession of ships can be seen through the bay with the reviewing stand out at the Marina Green. San Francisco Fire Department will provide lead escort with their fireboat shooting jets of water into the air to celebrate the fleet's arrival. On Pier 32-33, San Francisco Fleet Week is excited to introduce its official hub, Fleet Fest, located in the shadow of the Navy's visiting flagship. Welcoming more than 12,000 festival attendees to this outdoor, interactive, all-weekend family event, Fleet Week's Fleet Fest will be a high-energy food truck jamboree and concert venue. There will also be an evening Welcome Heroes concert honoring our visiting military and our first responder community. The Welcome Heroes concert will be followed by 2 days of ship visitation and fun at the fleet. Find out more about these activities at fleetweeksf.org. That's fleetweeksf.org. Did you know that the military has a disaster response mission to assist after an event like an earthquake in San Francisco? It takes planning to determine what equipment the military can bring in a time of disaster and how they will help people of San Francisco and the Bay Area should a need arise. First responders learn what will be asked of them and how they will work with our local government and private sector stakeholders to provide aid and relief in the aftermath of a major disaster. The Humanitarian Assistance Village is an open-air interactive exhibition of the military's disaster relief equipment, including heavy machinery, communications equipment, search and rescue capabilities, underwater inspection and repair, field hospitals, and much more. Take your family around for a wonderful educational opportunity and to see the air show while you are there. There will also be an Honor Our Fallen tribute concert at the San Francisco Jazz Center. This year, the San Francisco Boys Chorus is joining the 1st Marine Division Band for a special joint performance. This special program produced by the 1st Marine Division Band recognizes the sacrifice of the service members who volunteered to defend their country and made the ultimate sacrifice. San Francisco is only one city of many throughout the world to honor their fallen brave men and women. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I hope you will join with me listening to TAPS in honor of our fallen. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk back here in the studio, and I am with Gerard Sheridan. We just had an opportunity to listen to TAPS in memory of all of the fallen and those who've represented us throughout the world you know, serving in our armed forces and also armed forces of other countries. And as you see, also doing this wonderful role of disaster preparedness and serving in times of peace in this wonderful way. But Gerard, you're here today representing the amateur sailors who have a passion, a lifelong passion for sailing. So I know that you are... you've done many, many things, but are a modest and humble man. I'm just letting the audience know this, that all of our listeners know this. And so it's not like you're putting all of your things out there, but I really appreciate you coming here to represent all of those wonderful sailors around the world who are in it for the love of it. Tell us how you got started in your sailing career.
Well, I was living in Dublin at the time. I'm originally from Ireland. And back in the mid-90s, one of my friends in the company I was working for at the time said, you know, we're chartering a boat in the north of Ireland, and we're going to sail it over to Scotland and sail around the Mull of Kintyre. And he says, are you interested? And I said, absolutely. So that was really the beginning of my engagement and adventure with sailing. And after that trip, I came back and I said, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. From a recreational point of view, I caught the bug, as I said. So golf, tennis, and all of those other sports were out the door, and it was sailing for me, and it has been since you know, the mid-90s, essentially. So I didn't grow up sailing like, you know, a lot of kids, you know, have an opportunity to do so at a very young age. So I had a lot of catching up to do. So I really threw myself into it and committed myself to it, and I absolutely love it. It's a major part of my life.
How old were you when you started sailing?
I'd say mid-20s.
Okay.
So relatively late, you know.
Well, I started somewhere after that, so it's all relative, right, as to where you are. So tell us about your boat. This is one of the loves of your life, I'm imagining.
Well, you know, it's kind of love-hate. You know, they say the two best days of a boater's life is the day you buy the boat and the day you sell the boat. But I've owned Tupelo Honey since 2004. It's named after a very well-known song by Van Morrison, Tupelo Honey. And we've raced it since 2004 till this day. And it's been, you know, a pleasure to do so. One of the major parts of sailing and racing and boat ownership is the camaraderie and the crew you have and the people you sail with and against. And we've enjoyed the boat. We've been very successful throughout the years of ownership, and it's a great boat. Looks good too.
it's a very pretty boat. I can say looking good if I see it on the water. So recently you just participated in the Jazz Cup.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit tell me about the rivalry between South Beach Yacht Club and Benicia Yacht Club and how that experience was for you in that race and how you placed?
I wouldn't say it's rivalry between the two clubs. I mean, it's co-organized and co-run by the two clubs. And the Jazz Cup, the cup itself, is for the winning boat from either one of those two clubs. But as you know, there's many competitors from all over the bay, and many other clubs compete. So, you know, as Paddy said earlier on, there's 11 divisions. So I wouldn't say there's rivalry between the clubs. It's more rivalry between individual boats that we know, okay, that's, you know, they're the boat we want to beat and we want to compete against. But it's all very sportsmanlike. We're all friends at the end of the day at the bar, but on the start line and up the run up to Benicia, it's dog eat dog.
So who was your competitor that you were trying to beat?
Well, actually, this year we were put in a division that was different to the normal competitors we like to sail against. So we like to sail against Jeanette. We like to race against Invictus and other boats like that. So unfortunately, we were kind of in an interesting division break this year. So we didn't get to race against those guys, but we do keep an eye on them on the water.
I imagine. So. You recently had another race that you competed in. What was the another race that your boat has been in?
Oh, yeah, the Rolex Big Boat Series. Yeah, I, as I said to Paddy, the three major races and events that I absolutely love in San Francisco Bay is the Jazz Cup, It's a three-bridge fiasco in January run by the Single-Handed Sailing Society and Rolex Big Boat Series run by the St. Francis Yacht Club. So we have competed in Rolex Big Boat Series, I would say, on my boat and my boat partner's boat, probably 14 or 15, over the last 14 or 15 years. So that's an amazing event. It's the, I would say, is the race on the West Coast, sponsored by Rolex, run by the St. Francis, who does an outstanding job in organizing planning, which is a very, you know, it's got a lot of moving parts. It's over 90 boats each year, some of them very large. And this year we actually had, for the first time ever, a classic yachts division, which is quite common in Europe, but we haven't done it here in a while. And I think it showed us that there's an interest in that. And also from a spectator point of view, the classic yachts really bring out people. And they love looking at these beautiful old boats racing around the bay.
They are gorgeous on the water.
Yeah.
So you're also on the 2019 race committee, I think, for St. Francis Yacht Club. Did I get that right?
Yes, I'm on the executive race committee there for the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. And this year, for better or for worse, for my sins, I am the chairman of the executive race committee there.
And that's not a small responsibility. I think, don't you have a staff person who's helping out with
that?
We
do, yes.
Because you've got so many races going on.
Yeah, we have. We're very fortunate to have a very good race office, a professional race director, and his assistant, Graham Beale, does an outstanding job. So he's a professional on the overall race program for the St. Francis. And then you have all of the volunteers, all of the members who help coordinate and figure out, okay, what races are we going to run next year? How do we staff those with the volunteers? You know, we've got to choose a principal race officer. We've got to assemble the race committee and so forth. And, you know, it's kind of like setting policy and figuring out what's the direction we want to go as a club. What's right for the racers? I look at the racers as customers. And if you think of it in that term, in that way, it's a good guiding principle to keep you focused on what's the right thing for the sport overall.
Well, hospitality is an important part of that. I think there's 130 staff over hospitality staff at the St. Francis Yacht Club.
Yes.
And I've entertained there and you have too.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times the racers are enjoying the race, but it's also when they come to shore and they go to the club, what the party's like. I mean, that's
absolutely. You know, some regattas are measured by the quality of the party at the end of the day. So, you know, some people come in off the race course and they're either jubilant or they're disappointed or something's gone wrong and they're upset with their fellow competitors or maybe the race committee made a mistake or something like that happened. But, you know, a couple of beers in, everybody forgets all that and they're having a great time. And it's all part of the sport. The sport really is about people. It's about tough competition indeed and fair competition and quality competition. But at the end of the day, it's about people. It's about camaraderie. It's about the bond we feel and the connections we make. And I always say to people, if you come to San Francisco and you move to San Francisco and you want to actually get into a community and you want to get to know people quickly, you know, sailing is a wonderful way to do that. And join a club or volunteer for race committee or find a position on a race boat as crew. Skippers are always looking for crew.
Well, and I also can't go without mentioning the musicians at the St. Francis Yacht Club.
Yes.
Because St. Francis Yacht Club is one of the few yacht clubs that has musician members where they
Absolutely.
Offer a lower initiation fee and in exchange, it's almost like a barter. The musicians contribute to the club.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great people there, Bob Sky, and you know all the other, does the behind the scenes technical stuff for all the musicians.
Absolutely.
And
that's great.
And so that's part of the race committee is interfacing with the musicians to help that ease of camaraderie at the bar.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. So it's a very diverse club. I mean, there's an image that some yacht clubs have or that yacht clubs in general have, you know, for people outside that, it's very elitist and this. And, you know, it's not necessarily like that. I mean, it's hundreds and thousands of people from very different walks of life. It's a very diverse community. And we all share one thing in common, and that's the love of the sea, the love of sailing or boating or activities on the water.
Well, that's one of the things I've noticed a lot in my experience in the yachting community is that you get people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds side by side.
Absolutely.
At the bar, on the boats, on the water, in the social life. And as long as people love the water and are interested in yachting, they're welcome. And it doesn't mean that they wouldn't be welcome otherwise.
Exactly,
but it's not the image that oftentimes I think gets portrayed, but it's the reality of what it's like.
Absolutely. I agree. The media want a story sometimes, so they like to portray different sports in different ways. But I wouldn't want to be a part of something that would be otherwise. Otherwise than, the community that we have.
Well, I'm going to be traveling through Europe to 7 different countries coming up this next Monday, and I'll be doing the show from different places.
Wonderful.
And one of the places I'm going is Dublin, Ireland.
Fantastic.
And so if I'm in Dublin, tell me what I would want to know coming to Dublin, both about the water and anything else you think that I and the 100 million other people listening to this show might want to know about Dublin.
100 million, okay. Well, Dublin is a wonderful city. I love returning there. I grew up in Ireland. I was born in Ireland. And Dublin was my last city before I moved to San Francisco in 97. It's a very vibrant city, very young population, economically very vibrant, thankfully, again, after the last downturn in 08. It's a very walkable city, very friendly to walk, easy to get around. And there's a buzz in Dublin. Obviously in the summertime, it's even better. But, year round, I think it's a great city to visit. Sailing is a very big part of that city's culture as well. And the main yacht clubs really are in Dunleary, which is in the south of the city. There's about 4 yacht clubs very closely clustered together in Dunleary Harbour. And then there's another yacht club, which is one of my favourite, over in the north, and the north side of the bay, called Howth Yacht Club. And that's a very fine yacht club and runs a lot of international events as well. So I've got a lot of friends there. So every time I visit Dublin, you'll find me visiting there with my friends.
Now, I was just speaking with Angela Heath, who was one of the original Maiden crew.
That's
when
right.
She was here. Did you get the chance to see her or talk to her when she was here?
I didn't
town?
Get chances to meet her, no, but I did see her, yes.
We had an opportunity to work together on the Maiden for a little trip that we did on the bay when the Maiden was visiting through here, and we just hit it off immediately. So I'm going to say hello to her. I think it's the Royal St. George Yacht Club. Is that one of the ones out there?
That would be one of them, yes.
Right. I think that's the one that she represents and was involved in. And so it was quite a fun experience. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show, Gerard, and to have Patty Manigan on the show representing the San Francisco Bay Area and Ireland on Sailsport Talk. So next week, we're going to be back again. Actually, I will be in Europe, and Rick Tittle will be here at the mic, and I'll call in and say what's happening, maybe in Dublin.
Great. Thank you very much.
Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk.